Thank you. All of God's people said, amen. Beautiful, beautiful anthem. Earl Parker was a country boy. He grew up on a farm in the rolling hills of Virginia. He loved to hunt, he loved to fish, he loved baseball, but he loved Viola Schroeder even more. Viola was the prettiest girl in town, and she was the love of his life, and they were married in 1940. But times were hard. Making ends meet was a challenge. But then Earl and some of his buddies found out about a deal that seemed too good to be true. They could sign up for the National Guard. All they had to do was go to camp one weekend out of the month, and they would have a good time. And the best part about it was they got $1 a day, which back in 1940 was a nice supplement to a meager income. Everything was going great for Earl and Viola until December the 7th, 1941, the world as they knew it changed forever. Suddenly, the National Guard training became much more serious and intense. Earl was rarely able to come home and see his beloved Viola. As Adolf Hitler continued his relentless assault across Europe, Earl and his company learned that they would be deployed overseas. Just before they were to leave, Viola had an urgent need to get in touch with her husband. She had a message that she wanted to give to him in person. She made an ill-advised trip to New York, where they were getting ready to get on the ship and go across the ocean, but she only got as far as the front gate. The camp was closed. They would not let her in to tell her husband that he was going to be a daddy. He found out when he got to Britain, and they were writing letters back and forth at least once a day. Earl was convinced that he was going to have a little boy, and he said he wanted to name his son Danny. And then one day the letter came that baby Danny had been born, his baby daughter. But Viola decided that she was going to name her daughter Danny because that's what her daddy wanted. Earl was so anxious for the war to be over so he could go home and he could see his darling child. In December of 1943, this is what he said in a letter that he wrote to Danny. "Dear Danny, maybe Santa Claus will bring you a lot of things if you're a good little girl. I sure hope I can be there next Christmas. I don't suppose you will know your daddy when he comes home. I don't believe it will take us long to get acquainted. Don't tell Mother that I said this, but I love her a lot, and I think she's real sweet. I wish I could be there with you and Mother tonight. With all my love, Daddy. Earl wrote home as often as he could, but as June 1944 approached, the letters became more infrequent, and they finally stopped. Everyone knew what was about to happen. Everyone knew the inevitable invasion was imminent. Earl knew that he would be among the first men to hit the beach at Normandy. They also knew that there would be massive casualties. In fact, some were even referring to his company as the suicide wave. On that fateful night, they boarded a ship, and as they were going across the English Channel, a friend recalled years later that they were standing by the railing, a lot of the boys from the same hometown, said, "We sat around and we talked about what we would do when we got home." Earl pulled out a picture of his little girl, Danny, and he said, "If I could just see her once, I wouldn't mind dying." Over 60 years later, the friend cried as he told that story. When those boys signed up for the National Guard at $1 a day, they didn't know. They didn't know what would be required of them. And when James and John signed up to be part of that traveling group of fellas with the man from Galilee, with the man from Nazareth named Jesus, they didn't know what they were getting into, did they? And a good example of this is in the scripture that Paul shared with us, that one day they were in a big discussion and James and John came to Jesus and said, "Listen, we'd like to be the one on the right and the one on the left. We'd like to be the chairman of the board. We'd like to be the CEO. We would like to be in charge of your cabinet. We want to be your right-hand man and your left-hand man." And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking." He said, "Are you able? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" And they quickly said, "We're able." But they didn't know, did they? Following Jesus is not easy. Now, signing up is. It's relatively easy. When Billy Graham preached all of those sermons, he invited people to come to Christ. It wasn't that difficult to come down during the singing of "Just As I Am." Did you feel like you needed to walk down front a few minutes ago? I started to come down front myself. There's just something about that hymn. There's something that pulls at our heartstrings. There's something that we want to respond. We want to do something. And millions of people responded. Remember when Paul and Silas, the story in the book of Acts, when they were in jail, and they had the earthquake and they were released, and the jailer said to them, "Men, what do I have to do to be saved?" And they said, "Just believe. Just believe in your heart. Just believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And Paul said in the 10th chapter of Romans that if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. But that's just the beginning of the journey. A lot of times when children come to me and they're getting ready to make that faith commitment to give their life to Christ, to be baptized, I give them this story. I say, what if your family wanted to go to Disney World? Oh, they get excited about that. So we're getting ready to go to Disney. And we've talked about it and we've planned for it and we pack the car and you get up early one morning and your daddy backs out of the driveway and then he stops. And you just sit there and you don't go anywhere. And they say, well, that wouldn't be right. And it wouldn't be right. But how many people have given their life to Christ and then they just sit there? And then they just stop. You see, following Jesus is not easy. It requires sacrifice. It requires commitment. We have to run the race that is set before us with perseverance. And it is not easy, is it? When you've been in the church and when you've tried to follow Christ for years and years and years, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. How do we do it? You know, the church is full of saints, but the church is also full of sinners. We know that, don't we? It's not easy. Sacrifice is not easy. How can we do it? The truth is, we cannot do it. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. We were not able to give a focus on that because we had the beautiful young people singing, and that was wonderful. But on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of the church. We celebrate the gift of the Spirit. We can't do it. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have power. We have something that will propel us, something that will enable us, something that will open the doors for us and allow us to be committed and to sacrifice and to give all that we have for Christ. Back in 1997, Danny went overseas and she visited Normandy. She carried three things with her. Her father's dog tags had been discovered. Also, his purple heart and the letter that he wrote to her at Christmas 1943. She couldn't visit the grave of her father because they never found his body. But she stood before a wall in the Garden of the Missing, where there are 1,557 names. And she searched that wall until she found the name of Earl Parker, her daddy, an unsung hero. He gave his all. So what about James and John? Well, if you recall, they were able. They were able because James, according to the book of Acts, became the first martyr of the Christian movement when he was executed. And John, well, of all the 12 disciples, John was the only one who survived to old age. He was the only one of the last 11 who was not a martyr. But John didn't have an easy life. Remember, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. There are stories of him being tortured. But through it all, he found the strength through the Holy Spirit of God to keep on, to sacrifice, because yes, he was able to drink the cup that Jesus drank, the cup of suffering and the cup of sacrifice. And of course, he gave us that beautiful gospel and also the book of Revelation. They were able. What about you? What about me? Are we able? Are we able to drink the cup Are we able to give our all to Jesus? As we stand and as we sing our final hymn, our hymn of commitment, "Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord," I pray that each one of us here today would re-examine our commitment and ask the question, am I able? Am I able to answer the calling?